Blog Talk Radio.
Family Knows Best. Standing in for your host this evening, Brother Dwayne Harshaw, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Welcome, each and every one, this evening by phone and by computer. And I'm standing in for him this evening. And again, welcome to The Family Knows Best. I'll be reading the disclaimer. Okay. The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network, its management, or the hosts or advertisers. And again, welcome to The Family Knows Best. You know, that... Real quick, that sounds kind of familiar to me. There used to be a family show on television, I think, back in the 50s, and it was called Father Knows Best, you know, because father is supposed to be the head of the family. There was a wife and two children, three children, yeah. But it was entertainment, and it had good values, but everybody couldn't use that because we weren't the same as those actors on television. And we weren't portrayed as those actors on television. Okay, I have prayer. If there's anyone listening who has prayer requests for themselves, their family members, loved ones, neighbors on either side, the sick and afflicted, those in war-torn countries, the Ukraine, Niger in Africa, Haiti in the Caribbean, South America, Central America, the United States of America, Japan, China, North Korea, South Korea, all over the globe, all over the globe. Okay? All right. We're also going to be praying for the saints of God, their families, praying for those that need to be saved, those that have been running away from God for a while. God's spirit, he still draws, but he doesn't draw forever. And we're looking for people to come on and understand and realize that there is a God that can protect you and keep you and supply you with your every need. Okay? All right, let's have prayer. Most High God in heaven and in earth, and underneath the earth, we honor you and truly thank you for the time you've given us, Father God. Even though we are substituting for Brother Harshaw, there is a reason behind any and everything, and you put things into place, Father God, for others to learn and to get suggestions and to feed off of it, to get hope, to be encouraged. And this is for me to be encouraged because I'm going through something, but I pray for the next man in line, Father God. The one that is sick, the one that can't get up off of his bed, Father God, the one that can't tie their shoes, the one that has to have someone to feed them, Lord God. Bless them, Father God. Help them in their mind, Lord, to keep their mind stayed on you. You can help them, Lord, to where the devil is not constantly working on their mind and trying to keep them prisoner in sin, Father God. We call out those countries, Father God, where there's strife. There's no food, clothing, no shelter, Father God. These countries, their people are just poor, Father God. They're poor and afraid. But I know, Father God, for myself, that I turn to you from my life of sin. And my life didn't come that much easier. But I could deal with it that much better knowing that you were right there, keeping over and keeping me. And we ask, Father God, those that need to hear a word, help them to turn from their wicked ways, Father God. Seek you, Lord God, And hopefully they will ask. If they ask sincerely, it will be given to them, Father God. Their needs, food, shelter, and clothing, my God. These prayers, they go up for the military, Father God, acting against their own people, Lord. We call them out, Father God. Their actions aren't going to warrant them anything better in their life or anything more peaceful than what they had already. And in this country, Father God, we ask we ask you, Lord God, to help us to go through all these issues. This country used to be a free country, Father God. Once upon a time, we could have peace for a short period of time. But now there's no peace. We can search it out. There is no peace, Father God. And it's not that someone's out to get us specifically by name, but it's just the enemy trying to take out as many as he can. Those that are serving you, Father God, those that are doing the right thing, those that are loving their neighbor, those that are reaching out that hand of fellowship and friendship. Lord, we ask you to help them as you're helping us. Help us to be an encouragement, Father God. As we go through, we can put the word out, Father God, that you brought us through the cancer. You brought us through all the illnesses, Father God, the sicknesses, Father God, the degradation, Lord God. And you give us peace of mind, so that we can pass it along to the next man. We can't keep it unless we give it away. But we share it with those that are listening tonight. God, he is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And he has been bestowed with all power. He has all power. He is all power. He can bring us through the worst situation. He can calm our minds. He can supply the food that we need. He can supply the heat in the winter months when the bombs are falling all around us. But we have to call upon him. God is great. And greatly to be praised. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. The word of God is true. We can't doubt it. And his word, God's word, has been settled in heaven. So we can depend on that word no matter what anyone says. Bibles should be, there should be somewhere where you can get a hold of one. Certain countries, but we ask God. God, supply their every need. Supply the word that they can live by, Father God. They can think by. They can walk by, Lord God. They can live by. And we give you the praise. We honor you this day, Father God. And our loved ones, neighbors on either side, Father God, thank you for blessing us to be able to live peaceably in our neighborhoods, Father God. When prayer goes up, blessings come down. Truly thank you and honor you for those listening tonight. Praise and glorify your holy name with the most high praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, again, this is Deacon Wes Armstrong, and I'm sitting in for a brother, Dwayne Harshaw. And his ministry, the family knows best, okay? Now, his, let's see, he has a base scripture for his ministry here. And it comes from Genesis 1 and 28. So I'll read this here. The concept of family was introduced by God in the very beginning, as seen in Genesis 1 and 28. God blessed them and said to them, male and female, by saying, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Plan for creation was for men and women to marry and have children. A man and a woman would form a one flesh union through marriage. And that's the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24. And they, with their children, become a family, the essential building block of human society. Praise God. And again, that was Genesis 1 and 28, and also Genesis 2 and 24, the basis for the family, which God instituted. This was not man and his laws or his ways. This was in the beginning. God instituted this, and it should be a staple even today. But man has changed the laws. His ideas have changed things up. Instead of coming in, they're going out. They're changing things up. The unnatural for the natural, a lie for the truth. And God, he is not pleased. God is not pleased. But we, the saints, we the ones that read his word, we the ones that pray and hold on and stand in the time of trouble and in trouble, we stand and keep standing. God, he'll eventually bring us through. We don't have to run to the government. Of course, they may have things that we could use or need, but it's not for us to depend on them, because it was not in the beginning, it was not the government, it was in the beginning God. So we have to look to God for all things, all things, all things. Okay. I had some scriptures here, just a couple. I didn't want to get off base because the name of his ministry is called The Family Knows Best. Okay, we're going to try and keep this family oriented. Of course, there are scriptures here concerning the Israelites and then the general population of the world. We didn't separate them or anything, but we have them here. And I'm just going to go across a couple of them. Okay. First, I'm going to start, I believe, it was chosen for me. I believe it's in the book of Psalm. Let me see real quickly here. No, it was in Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, and it was chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to read a whole lot of it, but I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to go down to verse 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word lets us know and tells us what we need to do, how we need to talk, how we need to walk, what we need to listen to, and how we need to raise our children. And not for our children to put fear in the parents and, so to speak, take the place of the parents, and the parents become as the children. It's the way of the world. There's really no control, and the majority of the families, the children there, they have their own agenda. The parents, they have their own agenda. And the children are being caught up by the enemy. There is this transgender thing. The enemy, he is trying to conquer the world through the children. Since there is really no family foundation, really, the electronics have taken over. The parents, they want to party and feel good about themselves and what they have accomplished in life. A lot of times the children are left to, they are left to their own devices, which are electronics. drugs, their friends, and the world, the world system. The world system is geared towards control. It is geared towards control. So we have, my wife and I, we have children. They're up in age. We have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we try. Now, we're not the parents. We, even though we're grandparents and great-grandparents, we can't raise our children's children. No, we cannot raise them. We can chastise them when they are here with us, but when they go home, it's a different story. So we try to nurture them in the right way to talk, live, things they need to know in life, not one plus one. They need to know that there is a God who can protect them and take care of them and to help them stay away from things in the world that the parents get caught up in. You know, hey, I was a drug addict. I didn't have time for my family. I abandoned them. But the mother was there, and she did the best she could. They grew up fairly decent children. They have their own families. We all have flaws, you know. But we have to work on those flaws to not keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. It's insanity when you keep on doing the same thing over and over, which is wrong, thinking it's going to come out right, you know. But all things in life should start with the family and the home. The school does not raise anyone's children, you know. Grandparents cannot raise your children. Your friends, your relatives, your neighbors cannot raise your own children. No, no. You are responsible for your own children and your own family. And a family is considered of a father, which is a male, a wife, which is a female, and children, maybe a dog and a cat. Rabbit or something. But, you know, these are things that have been considered family since the beginning. Man, of course, has changed things up, the way he lives, the way he thinks. There's no standard. There's really no foundation in the world for a family anymore. No, the kids are wayward. The parents, you can't find them. And something happens to the child, and first thing they'll say, oh, my baby. I know my baby didn't do nothing. Well, hey, if it was my baby and, you know, my mind is right, if I have a sound mind, I would know where my baby is the majority of the time. And I would know what my baby is caught up in the majority of the time and not just let my baby go hang out with his friends. I don't know where they're at or what they're doing. No chastisement whatsoever. And as I get older, my child, my baby, he's going to wind up turning on me. You know, that shouldn't happen. That should not happen. God didn't mean for it to come out that way. No, no, that's just backwards. It's just the enemy has convinced people that, hey, it's okay. You know, do what you feel. Oh, the government, they passed a law. It's, you're good to go. There's really no more family with a male as father, a female as wife, and children that come home from school, do their homework. They spend time with their family. They have dinner together. Everybody's got their own thing. Their electronics, their friends, they're hanging out. They got their own time in their room with the door closed. You know, this is 2023. People said, man, this ain't back in the 50s. You know, we come a long way from there. But there still should be a standard, always a standard for everyone. I don't care what year it is. There should be a standard for all. Okay? Now, I'm going to turn the mics on. Praise God. Praise God. Good evening. I believe I've talked a pretty good while there. Good evening. Good evening. Sis, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Blessings. Shalom. Shalom. Comment, sis.
Well, I was just looking at Ephesians where it says the 5th chapter. It tells about, it's still talking about family. It says, mm-hmm. 6th chapter, it says the 5th chapter, and it says in the
yes.
the 5th chapter, mm-hmm. 22nd verse, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands mm-hmm. as unto mm-hmm. the Lord. Well, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he Amen. Is the Savior of, as he is the Savior of the body. For
mm-hmm.
as the church is
mm-hmm.
subject to Christ, so let the wife be to her own, their own husband in everything. And then it
mm-hmm.
says, wife, husband, love your wives, even
yes.
as Christ also loved the church and gave
mm-hmm.
himself for it, that he might
mm-hmm.
sanctify that man's clean and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present
uh-huh.
it to himself a glorious church, not having
yes.
spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men
mm-hmm.
to love their wives as their own bodies. He that
yes.
loveth his wife loveth himself. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband is supposed to love the wife as he does his own body.
Yes.
Praise
uh-huh.
God. That's
right.
And you are you. The family is a unit. God put family together. And that's husband and wife. And children, the husband is the head of the wife and the Lord. He is to lead his family to Christ. He is to live so the wife can look up to her husband and be submissive to him. That is the way the family is to be. And he is to lead, he's supposed to lead his family to Christ, but a lot of times that's not the way it works. Because he's out doing what he do. He's not leading his family to Christ. A lot of times the wife is the one leading him, the family to Christ. It shouldn't be that way. But a lot of times it is. But she's still supposed to reference her husband. She's still supposed to love him and honor him and do what's right inside of the boy. And teach those children to honor their, respect their father, regardless of what he is or what he does. Teach them to respect their daddy and honor him. And a lot of times, mother, she talks about daddy in front of the children, and that's not no way to bring the children up. If daddy says no, mama shouldn't go behind his back and say, well, you can do it anyway. Or if mama says no, daddy shouldn't go behind mama's back and say, oh, yeah, you can go out anyway. You can do it anyway. They should agree together and stick to what they one says. The other one should say the same thing. You should agree and not fuss and argue in front of the children. You should be a unit. You should agree and do the same thing. So there should be no division, you know.
Yeah.
And just do the right thing, you know, before the children. But a lot of times it's not that way. But regardless of if the husband's not saved, that lady, that woman should live the life before her children and let them see that I am a woman of God and I'm going to stand for what is right. And and take those children to church, bring them up in the fear of God. You know, so a lot of that's the way it is. Even though that husband's not going to church, he's going to have to still go to church and live that life before those children and bring them up in the fear of God. because a lot of times that husband's not the one to lead her family to God. But someone has to be the one that prays in that family. And you have to continue to go on and serve God, even in, if the daddy don't. Because the word of God said a sanctified wife can make a sanctified husband, or the sanctified husband can make a sanctified wife. So see, somebody needs to pray home, because prayer changes things. So when both is not praying, both is not serving God, well, where are the children going to be? So it pays for one that needs to be praying and doing the right thing. So look at what God is saying, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we have to do what's right in the sight of God. God is the one put marriage together in the home. He didn't put two men together or two women together. That's what the world is doing. And that's what's confusing our young people today. But we have to stand up for what is right and tell the truth. Some people's not going to like it, but we have to tell the truth if they like it or not, because the word is going to stand. Everything else fails. The word of God is still.
That's right.
Okay, brother, you can take.
That's right.
But, I just had a thought. You know, my mind sometimes, you know, I get these thoughts from my mind. A lot of times I keep them to myself. But I just had a thought real quick that God created man in his own image. Created he them, male and female. Now, in the beginning, there was a fellowship between God and man. Okay? Now, man was not on the level as God was. So God saw, after Adam had named all the animals and whatever else, God saw that he was lonesome. So God, he created woman. He took the rib from Adam, created woman, and he saw that that pleased Adam. And told them, Adam said, she is now flesh of my bone, of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Eve, because she is the mother of all living. Now, as time goes on, it's like Adam, he shies away from God, because there should be a fellowship between man and God, and then man and his wife. So, after a while, man, he shies away from God, so there's really no fellowship there anymore. And, you know, this saddens God. You know, like I said, this is my mind thinking now. And it's almost like a man leaving his wife, you know, for something else. Man left God for the cares of this world. And then eventually he leaves his wife for the cares of this world, lust of his flesh. But God made a way to bring man back. And he sent his son into the world that we could be reconciled back to God, to have that fellowship with him. Because if we living for God and call ourselves children of God, we should have the Spirit of God working within us. And we call it the Jesus within us. You know, it's that connection back to God. We have that close fellowship with God. And it's not a marriage. It's just the closeness from the beginning. And the opportunity is there, but it's not going to last too much long. But I'm just saying, in my mind, looked at it like that, to where it's just God and man. And then man, he was saddened. God, he created a mate for him. And then he shied away from God. You know, he accepted the fruit that his wife offered him. Because, see, the law wasn't given to his wife. It was given to him. So that created a barrier right there between man and God. And it's just like today, the cares of the life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, they have separated man from God. It's just the way my mind sees things sometimes, you know. There's a separation between God and man, and then man, he's got caught up in the world. It's the family. There is no family. Man is too busy out there with his friends. He's too busy working overtime on his job, you know. He is like to himself. Even though there's a family, he's not really there being a part of the family. You can consider him the head because he's the man, and, you know, authoritative figure, but not like he should be, you know. Loving his family and them loving him, they all should be one, and not two, three, four, and five separate individuals. They should be a family unit, that was said earlier, you know. But it's just the way my mind thought there for a moment, you know. Good evening, Miss Margaret. Your mic's open.
Hello there. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we were discussing the family that knows best, issues about the family, the beginning of the family with God, creating man and woman, and now the way things are. There's no family unit anymore. There's no family foundation.
No, there's not. The sad thing about it is the parents, the adults are doing whatever they want to do and leave the kids to fend for themselves. They get 10 years old and they're staying at home waiting for their parents to come home. They're into any and everything. You got to run the streets. You got them inviting strangers in. You got these malicious strangers that do anything to kids. They see kids that stop being tended to. They grab them. They rape them. They kill them. They sell them. It's atrocious to how this world is. The devil's running rapid. He knows his time's up. So he's running rapid. So he's doing whatever he can to savor whatever he can, to do whatever he can. So that's one of the tremendous problems in the family, because they let the devil creep in places that he shouldn't be, because they're not paying attention. We had to pay attention. We got to pray harder. We got to talk to these parents and tell them, you need to watch your kids. You need to sacrifice stuff to make sure you do for your kids and raise them according to their will.
Yes.
My Lord's will. Sorry.
That is so true. That is so true. The Lord's will. Yeah. It's like the world has just given up on God. They consider themselves the masters of their own being. There's this lust thing to where it's this same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. In other words. Life happens over and over and over, different people, but same situations. Over and over and over, nothing new. And as a criminal would think, okay, all right, I'm going to try this way next time. I'm going to plan a little bit differently next time, and I'm not going to get caught. You know, if he doesn't get caught by the authorities, he gets caught by his own conscience. His conscience is going to eat him up. You know, but we have to, with what we have, we need a foundation. The foundation is within all of us. We just have to put it to use. Some people just don't care. Oh, it ain't none of my business. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Yes, any and everything that's happening in this world has something to do with every one of us, you know, and we have prayer. We can fellowship. We can reach out. You know, we can share hope. We can encourage people. This Crown Talking Drum Radio Network is one way that we can reach out to people by giving them the truth, encouraging them, letting them know. Suggesting they may not be in a position to do certain things that we can. They may not have the electronics. They may not have electricity. You know, they may be in a position to where they don't have a constant supply of what they need. But we can encourage, we can pray. There are organizations and groups. I'm not saying for us to run out there and join them, but there are organizations and groups. And if we are sincere and true to God in wanting to help our neighbor as we help our own selves, we can pray to God, and God, he will lead and guide us if we want to do the right thing. We can start spreading
the word.
We can talk to our neighbors. Yes, we can talk to our neighbors on either side. We don't have to be afraid because we, you know, after the Holy Ghost come on, we were endowed with powers. We have power to do these things. We have power to do these things. And what we have to do is just step up and do what we know to do and not be afraid that we're going to lose our little bit of health or lose my job or get put out of my mansion or become homeless. You know, we have to humble ourselves somewhere. We have to humble ourselves and start somewhere from scratch. We are given what we need. We all have it already. And as I always say, we can't keep it unless we give it away. We have to share it with somebody else. We can't keep it to ourselves all the time. We have to give it up and let people know, this is what I believe. This is why I believe, you know. And just my lifestyle, my conversation, the word of God, we have to get to that point where we got to believe A or B. You know, we can't be swapping back and forth. And the traditional things, there's no such thing as traditional anymore because people are doing what they want to do. It doesn't matter. So if we go to church and spend time with the saints, we need to be trying to get something from that. We need to be trying to get something, you know, not just go because, my grandparents took me to church and my parents told me I better go or this and that will happen. But we need to go for ourselves and find out what's going on. The world is collapsing. And if we don't have a foundation, you know, we're all connected to a family, some kind of way or other. We have siblings. They have families. This is our connection.
Uh-huh.
This is our connection. We have grandchildren. We have nephews and nieces. This is our connection right there, the foundation. If there's no father in the home, there are other members in the family that can step up and help the mother out. You know? And a lot of times we hear that thing to where moms will say, I don't need you to tell me how to raise my kids. Well, what we do, we just put them in prayer and ask God to help them see the light. Because she has to live her life. The kids are wanting to live their life doing what they want to do. And it's almost a perfect excuse for them to do whatever they want to do because mom got to work. She got to do this. She got to do that. And kids, they're out there doing any and everything, and mom don't know nothing, you know. But we are all connected. We are all connected. Let me ask this. Yeah, go ahead, Miss Margaret.
But you know, that's the thing. A lot of people's not built on that solid foundation. That's Christ Jesus. Mm. A lot of people are going to church now, but they're not built on that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, because they're not taught that solid foundation. A lot of them's going to church and the preacher's teaching about prosperity and all this stuff, but they're not preaching about salvation and what it takes to get salvation. They're preaching about prosperity and all this stuff, and they're not preaching and telling you about sin and how to get rid of sin. You're going to church and you're still bound, and you're not getting set free. You believe in the same way you came in, because they're preaching about material things. That's not what it's all about. They're not getting built on a solid foundation.
Yes.
And how can you, if you build on any other foundation, you gon' is sinking sand. You can't stand. So if you're not built on Jesus Christ, that's the foundation.
That's the foundation.
A lot of people, it's just the way it is now. They don't want to hear about going to hell. You're gonna if you don't live this, you're gonna go to hell. They don't want. They end up preaching about what we was taught when we were coming along. They don't preaching that now. Sanctification, get clean, getting cleaned up. The word cleans you up, and all this. You don't hear that now like you used to hear it. And it's a shame, too, because I know I was talking to one of my sons, and he said, they don't preach that now. Well, what is you preaching? How do you tell? Sin, you have to tell somebody. You have to tell them how to come out of sin. You have to call sin what it is. You have to call it what it is. Praise God.
I see this. We, the children of God, the saints, the people run around here talking about they're Christians, we got to live what we are. We can't
you
be talking about the next man or what he did. There is, if we should be spreading a ministry of reconciliation, not worrying about a person's sin. There is scripture.
Come out of sin. You still have to let them know how to come out of sin.
Let me finish. We have been given. It's in one of the epistles of Paul. We have been given. We're supposed to be the Gentiles. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, not putting the person down for what they did wrong. We have to try to build people up. Let them know about the love of God, living our lives the way we should be, not what we were taught. We should be going to another level on what we are learning, not what we were taught, because what we're taught and what we're learning now is almost unbalanced somewhere along the line, because some of the people that taught us, they were unlearned. They carried it over from the generation before them. So we have
to
know.
You have to let people know they have to come out of sin. You have to let people know they have to come out of sin. Yes, we have to be reconciled to God. But if people still lying, if they still committing adultery, if they still shacking up and all that stuff, you cannot come to God and keep doing those things. They have to come out of that stuff and leave it alone. You can't keep living that way. You have to come out of that stuff and leave it alone. If you're lying, you have to quit lying.
Of course.
You can't keep doing sin. You have to walk away from it.
Now,
if you're drinking alcohol, you have to quit drinking alcohol. If you're smoking,
now,
you have to keep quit smoking.
What I'm trying to put out there is that common sense lets you know who are the people that's caught up in sin, right? We cannot put them down for what they're doing. We have to let them know there is a God. Let me finish. We have to let them know there is a God that loves you no matter what you're doing. He sent his son to the cross to die for what you out there doing wrong. You don't have to do that. We're not to beat a person in the head because they're drinking. We're not to beat a person in the head because they're out there prostituting. No, we are to pass along that ministry of love. God is love. You can come out of what you've done. You're not that bad of a person that God will not forgive you. We cannot beat a person down for their sin. That's why people don't come in anymore.
You're not beating a person in the head telling people about what sin is wrong. you're not doing that just because you're and that don't mean the person up in the head.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it, let me know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let the person know what's wrong. That ain't beating them up. If they guilty, they say guilty. That's just like people thinking you talking about them when you're preaching that stuff. No, you're not talking about them. That's why you think people's pointing at you. That ain't that you told somebody about you. They guilty. That's why they think, oh, somebody done told them about me. No, God done gave you that message. But you don't tell them what sin is, how do they know? That's just like when you go to the doctor, you tell the doctor what's bothering you, and then he'll tell you what it is. So you have to tell how sin what it is. You have to. You have to call out sin what it is. That's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
So they still look up stuff. And people keep going on doing what they're doing. They think they're going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven. And please, blood's going to be on people's hands so they won't pay people the truth. You have to tell people the truth. You have to. And that don't mean you are condemning people for telling them the truth. That's just like when they were talking about that boy that played the drums or whatever. They had to let him know that he was wrong and they couldn't let him play the drums or whatever. But they were doing it. And he quit coming. You have to let them know you're wrong. That don't mean you think nobody. You have to let a person know that you're wrong and what you doing. That don't mean you beat them over the head with nothing. If you guilty, you guilt. That's all it is to now. If you're going in the liquor store, every time you turn around, you're going to the liquor store. But on Sunday, I'm going to say, and you don't say nothing and preaching about me drinking and all that. And does that beat me over the head? No, you keep telling the truth about me going to the liquor store. You're not saying nothing to me about it, but you're preaching about it.
Yep.
Now, I'm wrong for doing it. Now, you tell the truth. It ain't beat me up now. So you have to call sin what sin is. You have to call it out. You have to call sin out.
Have to call it out.
Okay, sin, brother. Just like
Sister Mary
said, they were guilty. That's why they hid. And Jesus said, He said, who told you was naked? They were guilty. That's why they hid. See? So you have to call sin what sin is. If you a liar, you have to call sin. It's back in your hand.
No, we're sharing. We're sharing. It's my opinion. Just my opinion. It's not that I know better than the next person in line. It's just my opinion because I have been exposed to a situation like that, you know, and that just turned me away. If every time that somebody come up to me and said, well, you need to stop doing this, you know, it just turns me off. I know I'm doing wrong. I'm being convicted. But it's in God's time. I'm just not going to jump up and say, okay, all right, you told me I'm drinking, I shouldn't be drinking, I'm going to stop drinking. It doesn't work like that.
No, that ain't what I'm talking about. No.
But you still pointed out.
So I'm telling you that, no.
talking about that. So you don't do nobody like that. No, I'm not talking about that.
No.
You don't approach nobody, just keep pounding them. No, it has to beat them up like that. But you preach the truth. You preach the truth, but you don't, every time I see you, no, you need to quit that drinking. No, you don't do that. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. But you have to preach the truth over the pulpit. You get at that, you preach the truth. You tell them about smoking. You tell them about committing adultery. You tell them about lying over the pulpit. But you don't get them people's faces. Oh, you just a liar. You need to quit that lying. You need to quit that drinking. No, that is beating them over the head. That's not what I'm talking about. But you're supposed to preach the truth to people.
Yeah.
But you don't get them faces. Beat them up like that.
That's
what I'm talking about.
It wasn't that I was talking about preaching. I'm just talking about an everyday person. Not talking about preaching. No. I'm not talking about preaching. No. Excuse me, y'all. I had a cough. I had to take a break. Yeah, I wasn't talking about nobody preaching. I was just talking about, you know, like I said, it happened to me. My mother, she, every time it's like, blah, 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 blah. I knew what I was doing, you know what I'm saying? And God, he deals with people in different ways. And, you know, and I knew that I was doing something I ain't had no business doing. And after a minute, I told myself, I said, well, ain't no need of me being around these people, family or no family. You know, I don't want to hear that same old thing. Like I said, it's like browbeating. Somebody's always telling you you're doing something wrong instead of trying to encourage you and let you know God loves you. He can help you if you're having a problem with whatever you're dealing with. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, you going? Fish, you going? Okay. All right. Did we have any last comments? How long are we on?
Hello?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She dropped out.
Yeah. I'm reading this right here. It's Numbers chapter 12. Well, it's chapter coming from chapter 12. It says, we are not to criticize our siblings in public, but we are to resolve our differences in the privacy of the family circle. Miriam paid the high price for publicly criticizing her brother's choice of a wife. So we let people know the wrong and right in things, but it's a way that we have to do it. We don't come out because just to come out and tell a person, because the bishop has said before, we don't knock a person down when they're down because they already know what they're doing wrong, but we do address that sin error of the things of life that you know, we love you, but we don't like the sin that you're doing. And we let them know how much we care for them. We encourage them. We do what we can to uplift them, but we let them know the wrong in life if they're not living that Christ-like life. And
it is our
duty as children of God to let them know the wrong and the right in things, but we don't keep pushing and pushing and pushing things on them in a way that they feel uncomfortable with it. We can carry on a conversation, and the Lord will open up a door for time for certain things to be said to a person as we continue to encourage them in a way that, you know, they won't feel downhearted or anything. And, you know, this verse lets us know we can't, you know, criticize. It don't only mean our siblings. It means any and everybody within the public eye.
Right.
There's a time and place for everything. And we just let them know that I love you, but the life that you're living in a sinful world, I don't like that part of your life because it's wrong. And
yes.
I can't do anything about that. You have to make that change for yourself, but I still love you. It don't stop me from loving you. Don't stop me from trying to encourage you or anything like that. But we do have to address that sin nature simply because I used to run from people. They'd be coming down the street. I see them coming. I know what they're going to say. I'd run and hide in the store and things like that. Simply not because of them letting me know about the sinful life I was living, but because they put it on me too much. They'd already let me know, and I knew that. And I knew I was living in a world of sin. But I got tired of hearing it over and over and over again.
Yeah, you can run.
So I hid. But they made sure back then that's the way that they lived. They wanted you to know the sin in your life, the sin in the world. And back then they don't have the materials and things that we have now to be able to do it in a different way. So that's the only way that they knew. They was honest and they was true to them. So we have to be the same way, but see, we have more material and we're more learned now to where we can do it in a different way of respect.
Right.
Have to let them know in a lovely way.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to let them know.
Yes.
You have to
let them know. You have to address it and let them know because if they don't know, then it's going to be, the blood's going to be on our hands for not letting them know. And they go on living that sinful life, and they say, well, I didn't know. But if you let them know, they can't say, I didn't know, because God makes a way for you to give them what they need at a certain time in their life. And then after that, you leave it alone and you pray for them, because this is in God's hands then.
Yeah.
You did what you had to do.
Do what you got to do. And that don't mean you hound them. You don't have to. You do it in love. Like
yes,
my niece comes. He was living that life. I talked to her in love. I just let her know I didn't go along with that smile. And
right.
I did it in love. And I believe she appreciated it. I left out
of here. You say they appreciate it more when you do it in love and they're willing to listen to it more. Whether they accept it or not, when you do it in love, they will listen and take it in. And you don't know where to carry them to.
That's right.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
You don't browbeat nobody. You don't do
No. Well, that's what I went through. You know, certain people, every time I see them, you know, here they go, you know, over and over and over. But see, now that I look back and think about it, these people, they didn't have no compassion for nobody. You know, they
I went through that myself. But the kind of people that beat me over the head with it was living the wrong philosophy.
You don't do that.
Hey, it's been announced that there's about 1 minute left.
Okay.
Well, what does the Bible say? Love covers what?
A multitude
of sin.
A multitude.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Right.
We love. And once we love, a multitude of sins is covered by the love that we give for one another, for our siblings, for people around us that we come in contact with.
You do it in love.
That's right. And that's part of the foundation for the family. Love.
Yes, it is. It's the main foundation for the family.
Part of the foundation. Jesus Christ is love.
Yes.
And having Jesus within us, that love is spread abroad. First in and then when we go out to other people. We're going to shut down in a few seconds.
Well, I sure appreciate everything that everybody has done for
no problem.
Me tonight. It's a blessing to have you and a
God.
Blessing to be able to join in.
Yes, we love you.
And me and the wife, we're the family. We did it together in love.
Yes, we love you.
Okay,
and that's what it takes.
Miss Margaret, we love you also. Okay.
Love y'all.
Yeah.
We
love
you.
Love you. Yeah, it's all about family love.
All
That's
about
right.
Family.
Okay, everyone. Okay,
amen.
Shalom, everyone. God
praise the Lord. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Have a blessed
Shalom.
Night.
Shalom.
Amen.
Shalom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.